Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and then verse 1 is where we begin. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God and what it is to us and what it means to us. And Father, of course, we thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God, work in our hearts today as Pastor comes and preaches to us today. Speak to us and motivate us enough to do what we hear preached today. God, help us. And Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Fill him, use him today to help us to do what we should do. And Father, if there's somebody in this room today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would settle that and accept him today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, gentlemen, do we have that? Don't have the new one? Oh, okay, never mind. It's a new video for cell phone warning. I found another interesting one I wanted you to see, and I'll come back next week. We'll show it to you. It takes about 30 seconds. We had it set up back there, but we got a loose nut behind the wheel, and it's not working. So let me just say, please make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate or stun, depending on how you put it. And help us there today, or your television set will blow up if it goes off during the service and you'll be sitting home this afternoon stuck talking to each other. So help us there. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Have you noticed that? Maybe you're not a football fan and you don't care. Church tonight will be church tonight. Good Christians will be in church. The rest of us will be home watching the Super Bowl. And if you're home watching the Super Bowl, when church starts, your TV will fall on top of you. Okay? I'll prophesy that for you now. So just to and you say, oh, mine's bolted to the wall. Then the wall will come with the television and fall on top of you. Tape the stupid thing and watch it later. Go to church. Amen? Yes, thank both you Methodists. Tape the church and go, tape the thing and go to church. No, don't tape church. Tape the game and go to church later. We're going to turn the live streaming off tonight so you can't sit home and watch that while you're watching the television set and go back and forth. We'll see what happens. 750 million is what they estimate, I believe, will watch the Super Bowl today. Tens of thousands will pack a stadium and watch a football game that in years from now, most people will not even know took place or care. We just read two verses from the Bible, people, listen to me, that tell us that there are spectators in heaven who watch us today. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The idea here is that of an athletic contest. People are running the games, and there's a stadium full of people. And they're all watching those who run their race. They are the one, the watchers, the spectators, are the ones who are compassing about. The idea is around them in a circular manner, like in a stadium. It's what the idea is. It comes from this. But it says, when the Bible says, wherefore, It means what's been stated before that verse. That's Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it mentions the Old Testament saints and those who've gone on before us who are now watching us as we run our race down here on this earth. The Bible doesn't talk about that a great deal, but it does teach us and imply that today there are folks who watch us while we live our lives down here. And we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. I've been thinking about those spectators a lot this week. Not because of the stupid Super Bowl, but I've just been thinking about them. I was thinking about my loved ones who are there today. And I thought what we would do this morning is consider the spectators of heaven and what it means to us in our lives this morning. Listen now. They watch us here. Who is it that watches us here? Who are they? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 lists a great number of people here. Talks about Enoch, and it talks about Abel, and it talks about Noah. It talks about Abraham and Sarah. It lists in this passage of Hebrews 11 Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. Verse 32 of chapter 11, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, the Bible says. Look, it lists this great number of people of faith who've gone on before us who are now in the grandstands of heaven and watching us. But you know who else is there? Any saved loved one you have in your life that you knew or you didn't know. See, there's a lot of my people. All my kin are from Oklahoma, on my grandmother's side. And of all the states I've been to in our nation, I've not been to Oklahoma yet. And there's a little crossroads out there in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma where there's a little Baptist church building sitting there in an area they call Ward's Chapel. And in that little Baptist church building now, and I think they still hold services there, my people are Wards. They're all Cherokee, Choctaws. They're all Wards and Indians from that part. They built that little church building, and some of my people pastored that church for many years. The heritage of my faith runs through a bunch of Baptist Indians in Oklahoma. And there are a bunch of them in heaven today. They're all there. I do Lord's Supper, I think about the pastors, the preachers in my life who influenced me as a preacher and as a pastor. All of them are in heaven now. All of them. Pastor Jacobson, who was preaching the gospel, and this 9-year-old boy in American Baptist Church in Antioch, California, trusted Christ and got saved. I remember how my brother and I used to sit there, and Brother Jacobson was not, he was an older gentleman at the time, probably 58. He was an older gentleman at the time, and I remember how he'd say a word and lick his lips. Every word, lick his lips, every word. Dear beloved, we are gathered today. And my brother and I used to sit there and count them. 32, 33, 34, 36, 38. He did it twice. 39, 40, 41. And we'd watch him as he'd do that. I stood under conviction under that man's preaching. Trusted Christ as my Savior and got saved that day. Well, that was 50 years ago. I don't know how long Brother Jacobson's been in heaven, but he watches this preacher stand and preach the Word of God this morning. My pastor, Brother Foster, under whose ministry I got my heart and life right with God, and then he sent me off to Bible college. He's in heaven now. The preacher who influenced my preaching more than any man on this earth, Brother House, he's in heaven now. I gave Lord's Supper this morning. I thought about those preachers. I thought about my people who are in heaven watching us. Hey, I've got 4 or 5 grandchildren on the other side. I never even got to hold or talk to yet. All our grandparents are there. We've got loved ones who are over there. That's who's in the spectator stands of heaven today. And the Bible says we, seeing we are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know about you, but they'll make a big deal out of this football game. And people, when, you know, I've always been amazed. I played a little football in my younger years. I'm always amazed. The guy runs down the field, gets open, they throw him a pass. He guns in the end zone, and then he dances around like he did the whole thing by himself. When I played football, that was never tolerated because it was a team effort to get it in the end zone. It was a team effort to make a touchdown and everything else. But they'll make a big deal because everybody's watching them. The spectators of heaven today, dear people, are watching you as you run your race on this earth. Saints of God who gave their lives and poured out their life blood for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and start in verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and also Samuel of the prophets who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Those people are watching you. They watch you as you run your race. Some of you dear widows and widowers today, your loved one, your dear spouse now on the other side, they're watching you while you run your race here. You moms and dads who had children go to heaven from the mother's womb or maybe passed when they were small, they're watching you while you run your race down here. The spectators of heaven, that's who they are. They're there watching us here. And it's bigger than any stupid football game, and it's bigger than anything that man thinks important, that there are people who love not their lives unto the death, who gave themselves so you might have something to believe. They watch us here. There's someone else who's in the grandstands of heaven, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, the one who built heaven, the one who paid for the only way to get there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is through Christ alone. Are we clear this morning? Do we understand that today? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one way to heaven, and that way is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith must be in Christ alone to save you to get to heaven, or you're not going. It's that simple. And He who built heaven, then made the way to heaven, now sits in this place of heaven, and He, with nail prints in His hands and feet, thorn scars on His brow, the only one in heaven who will ever have scars, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who freely gave you the gift of eternal life when you trusted Him by faith and asked Him to save you, He looks down at you as you live your life here. When I was a kid and played football in high school, I was on a terrible football team. I was glad they never made us play the cheerleaders because I was sure we couldn't beat them either. One day, I was in the huddle and we were getting trounced pretty good. Somebody ran in, they were doing substitutions. The guy came in, he goes, "Hey, Johnson, this is your dad and your older brother up in the stands. They wanted to pass the word on." It's the only game they came to see me play, and I was thankful. And I looked up, picked them out in the stands, lifted up my helmet, pointed at my face like this. "What's this?" Put the helmet down. Then I had to go do something because they were watching me. I like to say I made a saving tackle or scored a touchdown. But in reality, I was playing on defense and was going after the guy with the football, and some little skinny punk cornerback ran up and tackled the guy right before I got there, so I hit the referee. But here's the thing. They watch us while we run our race. May I say this about those loved ones of yours who are in heaven now? They're healthy and they're happy. They're at peace. They're not at peace because they float around in the clouds with the long blonde hair, playing harps and sprinkles poof of dust on people. They're not at peace because they're in some ethereal existence. They're in a place where they're at peace because their bodies are healthy and strong. Their lives are good. All the race is run and it's over for them. And they're at peace today. I can assure you of that. Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus died. Lazarus was a beggar. He laid at the gates of the rich man and fought dogs for crumbs from the trash cans. The dogs came and licked his sores. He had a horrible life here, but the moment he died, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom, and he has been there now for 2,000 years, comforted and in peace. Do not let the memory of how some of your loved ones left this life rob you of the joy of knowing they're at peace. And everything's okay for them. Their race is run. They're finished. They're done. They're strong. They're healthy. Everything's good with them. And may I say this also this morning? They're at peace with you. Maybe you had a loved one who left this earth and things weren't good between you and them. I assure you, if they're saved, they're in heaven and everything's all right between them and you. Now, could I just go ahead and make this statement also then, please? Why don't you just go ahead and be at peace with them? Why don't you just go ahead and settle up on this thing? Why do we have to carry things in this life? You can't fix that, by the way. You can't fix what's wrong between you and a loved one in heaven. They're in heaven. You're here. You can't fix that. You're going to carry that the rest of your life. And that's a load you don't need to carry. Why don't you just go ahead and be at peace with them? Because when you get to heaven, I assure you, you're not going to chase them down and carry on the arguments you had when you were here on this earth. No one's going to walk around heaven griping about what life was like on this earth. We won't care anymore. They're at peace today. Why don't you be at peace with them? Well, they never said they were sorry. Okay, so then if they can't, you're stuck, right? Because that's what you are. You're stuck. Just go ahead and make peace with them. My mom's in heaven. She's been in heaven for a couple of years. We did not have a close relationship. Mostly by her choice and design. But I'm at peace with my mom this morning. And things are settled in her life now too. And I don't have bad memories of my mother. Those things are resolved. You understand there are spectators in heaven. And we are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. And they watch us while we run our race down here. And that's who they are. The saints of God who've gone before us. They're all there. Jesus now is watching us. He's already given us the way to heaven. He's provided that as a free gift. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you are going to heaven when you die. If you have not, you're not going. That's that simple. He designed that. I did not. But I agree with it because Jesus paid the price. And there are spectators in heaven today. You know what they see, though? Do you know what they see when they look at us? They see us from their experience. We just read that there in Hebrews chapter 11. See, they were tempted, sawn asunder, lived in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. Some of them were gutted for their faith. I mean, literally had their intestines dropped out of their bodies. Some of them watched their children drown in basement halls of religious institutions while they watched their kids, watch their little ones have their heads stuck in a bucket of water and drown in front of them. Some of them were sawn in half. Some of them were drugged through the streets of the city till every piece of flesh on their body was ripped from them, and then tied to horses and yanked in half until they snapped them in half like a twig. They burnt them at the stake. Those people would not give up what they believe for anybody or anything, and they watch us from heaven. And listen, what they see us from today is their experience. So, you know, I got a news for you this morning. I don't think they're impressed that we're going to go home and decide whether or not we're going to go to church tonight or watch the Super Bowl. Somehow I just think they're not impressed with that. Somehow I don't think they're impressed with the fact that we weigh the temperature of the outside temperature against whether or not we go to church. I don't think they're impressed with that today. I don't see as they equalize that to the slaughter of their children because they would not give up their faith. I just don't see as that's equal to them. I don't see as they understand today when they look at us and they see us with a nominal Christianity where we got a little Sunday morning church thing going on and we're okay with that while we live for the world and ourselves the rest of our week. I don't see as they look at us from their experience and think that's equal or fair or just or right because it isn't. It's like people in America complaining about what the freedoms that are being paid for by others on foreign shores and complaining about what we have in America. I like the bumper sticker I saw the other day. If you don't support you don't stand behind our troops, then stand in front of them. I don't understand that. Griping about freedoms and liberties they haven't even paid for, won't pay for, haven't got the guts to pay for. That's not right. Well, I got news for you today. There's an army of millions of people who were willing to hide in caves and willing to sacrifice the ultimate price. So you and I would have a book in our hands so it would tell us how to live our lives. And I got news for you. They look at us from heaven and what they see is, now let me see, my children were slaughtered like animals and you don't want your kids to go to church because of what? Because you're afraid someone's going to brainwash them. And I got news for you right now this morning. We will brainwash your kids. We will. I admit it this morning. We will brainwash them. We'll put them in a Sunday school class, take this book right here, and scrub that brain real good, stick it back in there, and send them back home to you. That's brainwashing, bro. And I am guilty, guilty, guilty. And glad to say I'm guilty. Because all week long, the world has infected them and infested them with the filth of this world. We just love these kids enough to get the brainwash clean up so they can at least think right for a while and then go back to life. Guilty. Don't you understand today? They see us from their experience. They look at us and say, what? Now, I'm a Vietnam era veteran, as many of the men in the church are today, and I think we understand today that the war that was going on while we were serving our country and stuff like that was not a quote-unquote respected war. I've been to many airports before, seen troops coming off planes and stuff, coming home, folks lining the hallways, waving flags. And by the way, I don't begrudge those men that at all, or those women. I'm thankful they get that. I think that's a wonderful thing. That's a great appreciation. It's what it should be done for all who serve their country. When I came home from the service, and nobody there to greet you, I had long-haired hippie punks making faces at me. They never said anything to me because then that would have created an issue. But, you know, we didn't get the big pat on the back. And Vietnam era veterans, please don't get whining about that, okay? It's disrespectful, I understand it. But, okay, that's fine. We served our country because we served our country. And we did our part, and that should be good enough for you if you did it for the right reason. But I wouldn't for the life of me disrespect the sacrifice and the work somebody else did. Because I've been there and done that myself. So I understand how that works. But I'm not for a minute going to say today that you and I have the right to just live a nominal Christian life and that's acceptable in the sight of those who look at us from their experience. Trust me, they must not be too pleased with some of us today. And Hebrews 11 verse 40, quickly now. Look at this verse. After it talks about all these people in heaven and what they did, Hebrews 11, 40. God having provided some better thing for us, look at this statement, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. It doesn't mean what we do affects their salvation. It means what we do affects the reward and benefit of their life. You know what? My grandparents taught me the Bible to love God. How wicked it would be for me to turn around and walk off on that. They sacrificed. They took me out of a drunkard's home. They took me out of a bad situation. They gave me a life and something. How wicked it would be for me. They're in heaven right now and they sacrificed their retirement and their future for Mike Johnson to have a life. How wicked it would be for me to turn around and throw that life away. Or do what I wanted to with it. See, they are in heaven realizing there's something that the word perfect there in verse 40 means completed. There's something yet not completed about their life yet. Pastor Jacobson's life is not completed because I'm not done preaching yet. Or anybody else that got saved and went on in God's will for their life. Nor is it so for Barry Foster, my pastor, under whose ministry God sent me to Bible college. Or Brother Howes, or all these other preachers that have invested in me. And other people of faith in my life. See, it wouldn't be right. There's something not complete about them if I'm not completing my race. And that's dishonest of you. That's not right. I've seen people raised in good homes, good families, people that loved them and taught them the truth. And then they get a little older in life, you know, like 18 or something. All of a sudden they get really smart. And they figure they know better than the loved ones who invested in them. Well, I just understand things a little differently. Now, why don't you just say you haven't got the guts God gave a worm and you chickened out. And then when you get to heaven, tell them, I'm sorry you wasted all that time on me. Because that's what it is. Oh, may I say this? How pleased they must be to look down and see you in church this morning. My grandparents never taught me Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. They didn't teach me that. They just told me that when it's Sunday, you go to church. They never asked me how I felt about it. I tell people in my childhood when I lived with my grandparents, godly people, I grew up on drugs. They drug me to Sunday school. They drug me to preaching. They drug me to revival meetings. Drug me to youth activities. Yeah. Those people were so narrow-minded, they never asked me what I thought about it. They never got to vote. Get your suit on, get in the car. That was it. I didn't know that was Hebrews 10:25. Found that out later. It's in the Bible. You're supposed to go to church every time the doors are open. It's what it says. That's how they see us today. Listen now. They see us from the fact that they have run their race. They're finished. And now they're waiting. It's like they're at the finish line cheering you on to finish your race, because how you finish yours will affect the way they finish theirs. Spectators in heaven today. You know how they see us? They only see us while we're in our race, while we run our race. See, that's why it says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, seeing we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us with patience run the race that is set before us. They do not see us in private moments of our lives. They don't see you in every moment of your life. They only see you when you're running your race, which means this: when you do God's will, they see you. When you don't, they don't. Why would God want them to look down from heaven and see you do things that violate the Word of God? They won't see you. Question: anybody in heaven had a view of you lately? Besides maybe an hour or two on a Sunday morning? Well, they are in church today. That's wonderful. And you know they're pleased. I know my grandmother. My grandmother was like the world's greatest encourager on this planet. I could get mad, walk into McDonald's with a Uzi and spray people down with bullets. And she'd tell me I was a good shooter. Nice, you know, nice grouping. That's the way my grandmother would have been. She was just that kind of a person. She wasn't an outlaw. She was just an encourager. So if she only saw me in church one Sunday a year, she'd be happy I was in church. At least he's in church that Sunday. She'd be happy with that. But she'd be wondering where I was the other 51 and a half weeks. They only see us while we do God's will. Now look here. That means they look down from heaven and they see you with your family, doing right by them and doing your best to try to raise them to honor God with their lives. And they look down from heaven and they see that. So my grandfather, who was a hardworking man all his life, construction, taught us how to hammer nails, saw boards, taught us how to do things. So he saw me do that with my boys. Now he sees me do that with my grandchildren. And he looks down from heaven, he sees a work ethic, and he appreciates that because he invested that in me. But while I run my race is when he sees me. You get out of the race, you get out of their view, they can't see you anymore. That's how they see us. So it's so important then, child of God, for the reason of the Lord Jesus who loved you and saved you, for the reason of being an honest Christian who lives up to the Bible that they believe, at least they say they believe, for the reason of returning a thanks to the Lord who gave you salvation, for the reason of many things that you want to live for the Christian life, could I add just one more thought to you today? There's somebody in heaven who watches you. They like to watch you play. They like to watch you run your race. They like to watch you in the backyard with your kids. They like to watch you with your Bible and your family together. They like to watch you get on church on Sunday. They like to watch you live for God. They like to watch you when you're tempted to lie, but you tell the truth. They like to watch you and you live in honesty. They like to watch you. They like to see that in your life. At some point, every parent's life in athletics changes from participant to spectator. The dumbest thing I ever watched in my life was T-ball. Where they put the ball on the tee and the kid hits it off of that. That part is okay. The rules are stupid. Because the T-ball that I saw, they didn't keep score. And that's stupid. Somebody came up with the idea, it's not whether or not you win or lose, it's how you play the game. That comes out of San Francisco. That's stupid. If you're going to play and we're going to keep score, somebody should win and somebody should lose. And somebody should get a sucker and somebody should not get a sucker. And somebody should get a trophy and somebody should not get a trophy. Somebody should win and somebody should lose. The Super Bowl's over today. The winning team, confetti falls, big room. The rest of the guys just go to the locker room. They lost. It's over. I'm sitting there watching the T-ball game. My youngest son was playing in. I said, what score is it? And they go, oh, we don't keep score here. We just let them play. So, well, that's stupid. So I kept score. It was like 420 to 418, but I kept score. Kids running around out there eating bugs, not even paying attention to what's going on. Gets the ball. What's the throw? No, it doesn't matter here. It matters when I teach my kid to play ball like that. Stupid. Took him out of T-ball. He ain't playing T-ball, son. That's ridiculous. We better go off and go in the backyard and break in the windows out of the house and go out there and stand around and staring off into space. The ball rolls right by the kid. Someone go, get it. And he goes over and looks at it, walks over there. Kids running the bases. Throw the ball. Everyone's going, shh, they're just having fun. This is stupid. Throw the ball. Cut him off at third. Come on, man. And then they looked like to me like there's something wrong with me. See, this whole game's messed up. Can't spectate and watch foolishness like that. That's ridiculous. People in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, are looking down. They're watching you run your race, and they're saying, come on now. I wonder if they know how close we are to the return of Christ. The Bible says no man knows the hour of the day, and I assume that means folks in heaven as well as folks on earth. But I wonder if they know. I wonder if they have a greater sense of the soon return of Christ, even greater than we do. And I wonder if they're saying it's almost time. It's almost time to go home. It's almost time to get everybody together. Finish this up and be done with it. Just keep running. Just run your race that's set before you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There are spectators in heaven today. We know who sees us. We know how they see us. Can I ask you a question? What are they seeing in your life this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Would your heads bowed, eyes closed?